Welcome, everyone. I am Michael, your host for Antediluvian Revelations. This is the third episode of the fourth edition podcast reading, the poetic retelling of the Book of Enoch, the Prophet. The complete text of this fourth edition is currently available as a free download in PDF format from polly@lotionpopes.com. Be sure to download your free copy of this revelational guide to the future of mankind. The story of Enoch becomes a flashback in the second canto as presented here, reviewing the greater details about the identification of the Elohim and God's original purpose for them is an important fact to know about. The presentation of the crime that has plagued mankind since the time before the Great Flood more than 6,000 years ago appears in this episode, so pay attention. The who, what, where, and why facts are only eclipsed by the how. We will never know the precise details of when this event occurred, but it was most definitely antediluvian, a time long before the flood. In the course of human history, God first created Adam and his companion Eve. Upon the event of mankind's first transgression, Eve did partake of the fruit from the tree forbidden to them, so that Adam and Eve came to know they were naked. Before that happened, they did not know this, or much of anything else, other than the happiness of life on earth. With an abundance of joy, peace, and happiness, the sons of men had multiplied in those difficult days, and the sons and daughters of those two first humans evolved as it was always God's plan for them to evolve, from simple creatures knowing nothing, to become sentient beings of great beauty and elegance. The first sin led to the second, with the first murder among mankind prompting God to send his sons, a species of eternal spiritual beings made in his likeness, to the earth as he ordered them to watch over mankind, that there might be supervision of humanity for the time of its early days and growth. God's loving sons of the heavens, Elohim, who may be addressed as such when seen, obediently followed his commandments, knowing their purpose was to watch and never interfere with their father's creation. It was not their place, nor was it permitted, that they interact with humanity as visible, physical beings that mankind could see or even knew existed, the same as any other of God's creations. When the sons of God saw the daughters of men, they became enamored with them, for their beauty and elegance rivaled their own form. They spoke among themselves, saying to each other,
"Come, let us select for ourselves wives, the same as progeny of men, and let us have children also."
Among them were many other face-to-face meetings occurring in secret places. The voice of one angel was speaking to others.
"We are eternal beings who will descend from heaven to earth, reveal secrets to the sons of men, and seduce them all into the commission of sin, while laying with their daughters to have children of our own."
The angel who said these things might have been Satan, who had a proclivity to rebelliousness. Thank you. Among those sons were the elder sons, whom God appointed as leaders of the younger ones. Shemyaza was their superior, and he said to all of them,
"I'm afraid that your decision to engage in this enterprise of mating with the daughters of men will surely cause an indisposition, and the Lord God will grieve of you for poor performance and lack of compliance with his will for all of us. I further fear that I will alone suffer grievously for allowing you to commit this crime while I am in charge."
In defiance of Shemyaza, the other sons gathered and answered him, saying,
"We all swear, by binding ourselves, mutually execrating, that we will not change our decisions, and our intent is to execute this proposed undertaking."
Afterwards, they swore a pact among themselves with mutual swearing to bind themselves to an oath, becoming a total of 200 who descended upon Ardis, which is at the top of Mount Hermon. They landed on that mountain called Hermon because they had all sworn to do the deed and mutually agreed among themselves. These are the names of their leaders: Shemyaza, who was the highest ranking of all the leaders, Irakabaramil, Akabil, Tamiel, Ramuel, Danil, Azkil, Serakail, Asael, Armors, Batral, Anain, Zavib, Samsavil, Atreel, Turel, Yamyael, and Arazayal. In truth, these names had been made secret, being altered from the original to prevent mankind from summoning their accursed spirits or those of their offspring to manifest again on earth. They were the elder ones among the 200 who served as the masters for all of the remainder of those 200 who followed them to the earth. Each of them took wives from among the daughters of men. Each of them chose for himself, having no problem in each his approach, because they were all more beautiful than any men those women had ever seen before meeting them. The errant sons of God quickly won favor among these daughters. They cohabited with them, teaching them the sorcery of seduction, incantations of love, fertility, healing by the divine of roots, and the knowledge of trees, plants, and herbs that gave them greater powers over others than any of them had ever known. Being overwhelmed with the glory of these errant sons of God, the eternal and immaculate conceptions of the Lord God Almighty, the most beautiful of all creatures made from the seed of the only God, Father, and Creator in the womb of the universe, the sons who had descended to earth to be among these fortunate females, the women conceived and brought forth giants. The children became abominations, growing to a natural stature of 300 palms or 15 meters in height. These mutations devoured all that the labor of men could produce for them as they grew bigger every day, until it became humanly impossible to feed them. Hungered and angered in their infantile misunderstandings, these abhorrent creatures of mistaken mating turned against men and began devouring them as though they were mere morsels. The offspring of these disobedient sons of God and daughters of men began injuring birds, beasts, reptiles, fish, and ate the flesh of all living, breathing creatures, quenching their thirst with blood. The matter of it all was so horrid that even the earth reproved the unrighteousness of this occurrence, becoming barren and withering so that there would be no future for any of them. This might have been similar to an ice age, but the only certainty is that the earth became desolate. In response to all that was happening, these criminal sons endeavored to do even more, as any father might do to aid in the survival of his offspring, in such effort to advance the species of humanity, that men might better serve the gods that these wayward sons had delivered. Azazel taught men to make swords and knives to kill and cut other men. He taught them to make shields for protection and breastplates to enhance their fierceness, and the fabrication of mirrors to reflect the light of the sun as a power over the sight of other men in war. It was Azazel who taught men the workmanship of metals to make bracelets, ornaments, jewelry, and precious things to covet and trade. Azazel taught the women to adorn themselves with these things and to beautify their eyes and brows with paint and colors to seduce men. Moreover, he taught them the use of stones and their various values, and he showed them the ways to alter themselves and the world around them that they might color it with all sorts of dyes. Well, this concludes episode 3 of Antediluvian Revelations, a poetic retelling of the Book of Enoch, the Prophet. This episode presented subsegments 1 through 6 of part 1, canto 2, from the 4th edition. All of the music selections used in these podcasts come from YouTube's content creator resources, and all tracks are copyright free for content creators who publish their works on YouTube. This audio podcast series is available for free on all of your favorite audio platforms, or on YouTube in the Polyet Lotion Publishing YouTube channel. The full details of the crime and those ancient criminals that has been the curse upon mankind since the time before the Great Flood will continue in the next episode, but there will also be the revelation of God's judgment for those sinners and all of mankind who have worshipped them as false gods since that time. The Fallen Watchers created a polytheistic ideology that has become known as paganism, and it is the underlying ideology for modern Christianity that fraudulently claims Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Be sure to subscribe for notifications of the next release. Thank you for listening. I am Michael.